What I can say is that it is clear that this is one of New Zealand's darkest days. Clearly, what has happened here is an extraordinary and unprecedented act of violence. Many of those who will have been directly affected by this shooting may be migrants to New Zealand. They may even be refugees here. They have chosen to make New Zealand their home, and it is their home. They are us. The person who has perpetuated this violence against us is not. They have no place in New Zealand. There is no place in New Zealand for such acts of extreme and unprecedented violence, which is, it is clear this act was.
Kia ora, welcome to Airman's Podcast, episode 344. Today is Thursday, March 21st, 2019. I knew I would have to talk about the terrorist attack this past Friday, but I didn't know what to say, and I didn't know how to start the episode even. So I chose to start it with a snippet of the remarks made by Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern immediately before she headed back to Wellington on that day. Technically, the event was still going on because we didn't know that there was only one terrorist, and we weren't quite sure if there were more still lurking around and all that. So she was speaking literally in the moment. And I picked that particular segment of it because I think it speaks to how all of New Zealand was feeling. First of all, the fact that she was a really good leader at that point. She was reassuring, but she was firm. She was supportive of the victims and their families, and she had compassion, and yet she was defiant to the terrorist who did this to us. And it was just the right tones, just the right words. And, of course, that's where I take the name of this episode from, They Are Us. It's from those particular remarks. I've talked about tragedies that have hit New Zealand before, about the Pike River mine disaster, about the Canterbury earthquakes. So I knew I would have to talk about this. But I can't really add anything to the stories that have been told, the news stories and so on. I'm not a journalist. And even if I were, there's been plenty of good journalism that's been done reporting the basic facts about what happened, the timelines, all those sorts of things. And so I really have nothing that I can add to that. All I can share is basically what this podcast has always been about, and that's my personal perspective on things. And that's really the only unique thing that any of us has at any given point. And my perspective is as an immigrant. I was not born in this country, but I came to this country as an immigrant, and I have seen, personally, anti-immigrant prejudice. Now, in my case, I'm usually a bystander. There's only one time that I can recall, that I was personally attacked as an immigrant, and that was by a leftist, of all things. And that was in the heat of an argument on Facebook. I wasn't arguing, by the way. I was being very calm and collected. But they resented the fact that I was going to vote for Hillary Clinton in the 2016 U.S. elections rather than just stay at home or vote for some crackpot third-party candidate because, you know, the left hates Hillary Clinton. And I said, the risk is too high, the danger is too great, and I'm going to vote for Hillary Clinton. And I did. And for that, she told me I should go home and all that sort of stuff, and you don't belong here and all that. Anyway, but that was her problem. As I said, I haven't actually experienced any personal anti-immigrant animosity that I'm aware of anyway. However, I've been around it. There have been times when people have been complaining to me about bloody immigrants, and I'm thinking, do you not realize that you're talking to one? Although most of the prejudice against immigrants that I've seen personally has been directed at Asians, meaning primarily Chinese people, East Asians, and also people from India, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, primarily India, South Asians, in other words. And so on the face of it, it would seem that it's a racist response. But that's oversimplifying it. And I say that because I've also heard a lot of prejudice directed against white South Africans and white people from England in particular, not the UK generally necessarily, but England specifically. And if it was about race, you would think that they wouldn't have experienced the same level of prejudice as some of the others have. And it is different. I think the prejudice against white South Africans is probably greater than the prejudice against white English people. But that's just my perspective. I could be wrong about that. I don't know of any surveys that have ever been done or any studies or anything, although maybe it has happened. But my point is that it is true that the fact that I'm white and of European ancestry has protected me and shielded me from a lot of the anti-immigrant abuse that, say, Muslims have experienced or that people from Asia have experienced. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I could be immune were things to turn really, really bad, as has happened in the U.S. over the past couple of years, where immigrants in general can sometimes be victims of harassment or worse. But this was a crime of a foreigner. He was from Australia, and he was... we're not quite sure yet how he became radicalized. All the sort of stuff we'll find out in time. But he believed in the replacement theory, which is what the Tiki Torch Nazis were chanting in Charlottesville. I'm pretty sure they're saying the Jews shall not replace us, but others say they were saying you will not replace us, whatever the case may be. He believed in that sort of nonsense. And so he came here to commit his acts of terrorism. And my belief, this is only an opinion, is that the reason he targeted New Zealand was because it was easier. He could get the automatic weapons he wanted here, which he couldn't get in Australia, so it made for an easier target. Plus, New Zealand has never considered itself to be a target for terrorism. We are a peaceful nation on the edge of the world. We don't really have enemies in the world. We get along with the various Muslim nations just fine, thank you very much. And we just never really anticipated that we would experience a terrorist attack. What seems to be evident is that no one was paying enough attention to the far right and what a danger they posed. Worldwide, throughout the Western Alliance, which sort of includes New Zealand, the intelligence frameworks and security arrangements and all that sort of stuff has been planning around preventing jihadi-type attacks from radical Islamists. They haven't looked enough into the threat posed by far-right extremists. And part of the problem for that is the U.S. You may recall that there was a report that was done in the U.S. about the threat posed by far-right extremists. And the reaction that came from Republicans in particular, this is while Obama was still president, was deafening. And I know, call me old-fashioned, but I would have thought Republicans would not be rushing to the defense of white supremacists, anti-Semites, and all those sorts of people, the violent radical right extremists. But they were. And maybe it's because they misunderstood what the threat level was about. I don't know. But ever since then, there's been a increasing focus only on jihadi terrorists and not on homegrown or just in general radical right extremists. And that seems to have been the case here. Radio New Zealand reported that they looked at 10 years of public reports issued by our state security apparatus, because they do public ones as well as the ones they only give to the government. And they never mentioned radical right extremists ever in those 10 years. However, a month ago, the head of one of the security agencies testified before a parliamentary committee, and she said that she did mention the threat posed by far-right terrorists as well. But that was, as far as Radio New Zealand could tell, it was the first time and only time in the past 10 years that it's ever been mentioned in any way publicly by our security agencies. Now, we are going to have a commission of inquiry into the attacks to find out what was missed, what could have been found, and all those sorts of things. And hopefully we will get to the bottom of that. And we also are going to be reforming our gun laws. The details of that should be released any day now, today, tomorrow, probably not tomorrow because it's the first week since the shooting, but soon. And the speculation is that there will be a ban on assault weapons for ordinary people, which seems to be kind of like the minimum, but also just tightening the gun laws so that it's not quite so easy for for terrorists to arm themselves. Alongside that, there have been people who have been turning in their weapons voluntarily, and there's also been a rush on buying weapons at the gun shops, as you would expect. But one of the things about New Zealand is that self-defense is not a legal reason to have a gun. You're not allowed to buy a gun with the intention of using it for self-defense. You can't be licensed if that's why you want a gun. So any of these people who are trying to stockpile weapons because they want it for self-defense, they're going to end up losing all their guns and their license. But I don't think that's what's going on here. The people who are buying the guns are ones who are buying them because they think that they're not going to be able to soon. However, having said all that, we also have had the specter of the USA's NRA raising its ugly, perverted little head, saying that it's going to interfere in our domestic politics and to try to stop any gun reform. Well, they're not going to get anywhere because they can't give money directly to any candidates here. And we have an electoral system that makes it very difficult for extremists like the NRA to game or to exploit. So they're on a hiding to nothing. And I fully expect, because all the parties are agreeing in principle that the reform is needed. They just have to hash out the details, and it will probably pass Parliament under urgency with very widespread support. So it's not a question of will there be gun reform in New Zealand. The question is how fast will it happen? And the government has determined it will be really quite fast indeed. So stay tuned for that. I'll probably talk about that more when we know what's going on. But it was a very surreal experience watching this. I mean, that Friday was just an ordinary Friday. I was doing some chores around the house and stuff, some projects I've been working on. And for some reason, I was really tired that day, and I decided I was just going to sit down for a little while and rest. And Nigel happened to be home that day, so I knew I wasn't going to record a podcast episode anyway. But he happened to be home, and he came out into the lounge where I was sitting, and he said, "Hey, did you hear there's been a mass shooting in Christchurch? They think 6 to 12 people are dead." And I'm like, "What?" So I turned on TV One. TVNZ's main channel is One, so it's One News is their news outlet, thinking that they might have something on, but probably wouldn't, because this was early afternoon, and at that point they're American game shows or something, I think. But they had switched to live broadcast. And watching them talk about it, nobody knew what was going on at the early stages, of course. This is before the prime minister spoke, even. And we're all like, what? Just in shock and disbelief. And they, for a while, they had a camera set up pointing at the police barricade on the road that went past one of the mosques. And they were standing there with their automatic rifles, just looking very intently around to see if there were any threats and so on. And they were just having this live shot. It was just a fixed camera. And they had that live shot because the host of the news show was talking to people on the telephone. And I was watching it, and sort of absentmindedly, as you do, because it's I was listening more than watching. And a brown car pulled up to the roadblock, and I could see the cop was gesturing. And I'm thinking, what is that gesture supposed to mean? And then I forget, I think he's trying to tell him he can't go down the road. He's got to go a different direction. But the car wasn't moving. And I could see the cops raise their rifles and point them at the car. I have never seen that in New Zealand before. I never thought I would see that in New Zealand. So eventually the car did move, and it was all apparently quite innocent. But it was a very surreal thing to see that playing out in real time. And then, of course, later we had the images of people who had escaped the mosque coming out with victims' blood on their clothes, and the images of people being brought to the hospital by ambulance. And it was just utterly shocking. It reminded me in some ways of 9/11, except that, you know, with all the time zone differences and all that, it was really quite different. Even right away, there... a lot of people picked up on the prime minister's words, such as at the beginning of this episode, and went out of their way to express their support for the Muslim community in New Zealand. And that was very heartening to see. But since then, The prime minister made it even more clear and more firm. And so I'm going to play right now a clip from something she said later that evening.
Christchurch was the home of these victims. For many, this may not have been the place they were born. In fact, for many, New Zealand was their choice, the place they actively came to and committed themselves to, the place they were raising their families, where they were part of communities that they loved and who loved them. It was a place that many came to for its safety, a place where they were free to practice their culture and their religion. For those of you who are watching at home tonight and questioning how this could have happened here, we, New Zealand, we were not a target because we are a safe harbour for those who hate. We were not chosen for this act of violence because we condone racism, because we are an enclave for extremism. We were chosen for the very fact that we are none of these things, because we represent diversity, kindness, compassion, a home for those who share our values, refuge for those who need it. And those values, I can assure you, will not and cannot be shaken by this attack. We are a proud nation of more than 200 ethnicities, 160 languages, and amongst that diversity, we share common values. And the one that we place the currency on right now and tonight is our compassion and the support for the community of those directly affected by this tragedy. And secondly, the strongest possible condemnation of the ideology of the people who did this. You may have chosen us, but we utterly reject and condemn you.
And that, my friends, is what the overall response of New Zealand and New Zealanders has been. You've probably seen the photos of the Prime Minister wearing a headscarf as she went to comfort the victims and to visit with the Muslim community here in New Zealand. And that has been very well received by the community and by New Zealanders in general. We admire her compassion. We admire her empathy. We admire her courage because, remember, in the early stages, in the first few days, we really didn't know the extent of the danger. She went to Christchurch the next day. It's been a remarkable thing to see. She's been an example of what a leader of a nation should be and should do and should say. And too often we don't see that in various world leaders. It's been a shocking experience for us all. It's been an unreal experience for us all. We don't really know how to process this, how to understand it, how to approach it. We are all hurting at what we have seen and what we know others have experienced. And most of us, I think, have pledged within ourselves anyway to try to do better, to try to challenge racism wherever we see it. And it's going to be a challenge to do that because New Zealanders are not by nature confrontational people. It's going to be very hard for them to find ways to stand up to somebody when they say something racist, even a racist joke. But I know we can do it. And I feel that something has shifted in New Zealand, that things are different now than they were just last Friday. The terrorist tried to destroy us. He tried to tear our society apart. He tried to turn one side against another. He tried to spark a civil war, all those sorts of things. He utterly failed. Through his act of violence, through his decision to murder men, women, and children who were minding their own business in their place of worship, he ended up uniting New Zealand in a way that was unimaginable before, quite frankly. He brought us together regardless of where we were born, whether we have a religion or not, and if so, what that might be. Of our race, our gender, our sexuality, all of those things are irrelevant in this hour. We are, at the moment, all one. We are all New Zealanders. They are us, and that's all that matters. I'll have more to say about this in the weeks and months ahead, of course, but today I just wanted to get out my thoughts and reactions and feelings and so on while it was all still fresh in my mind. And I apologize that it's been so disjointed, But to be honest, I'm not entirely sure it would have been any less so if I had waited a few more days to try to put thoughts together. A blog post I did about this was probably equally as disjointed, but sometimes the emotions are just too raw and you can't quite get them to play nicely together. And unfortunately, horrific events like this can make that happen. But that's it for today, and that's it for this week. I'll talk to you soon. Be strong, love one another. Kakete ano. Bye. You can comment on this or any other episode of the Amrens Podcast at amrenspodcast.com, where you can also leave a voice message. You can send me an audio message through Audioboo or Skype, where my username is Amrens, and you can email me, with or without a voice message, at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at amrenspodcast.com. This podcast is recorded and distributed under a Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.